This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 7:15 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Hezril. And next up, a bit of an update. I mean, we've been talking about this particular political story for most of this week, but we are capping it off with this. Just looking at, I guess, some of the technicalities of it all.
Yep. So we all remember Dato' Sri Anwar's audience with Yagong this week, but it turns out he wasn't the only one making moves.
Yeah, so another name that came up out of nowhere, it felt like, was Gua Musang MP Tengku Razali Hamza, who kind of surprised everyone by revealing that he had also submitted a motion of no confidence against Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin. And in fact, he beat Dato' Sri Anwar to the punch, you could say, because he did it during the last Dewan Rakyat sitting, which ran from July till August.
Yeah, and when he filed the motion, Tengku Razali told the speaker that the Prime Minister must gain the confidence of MPs to carry out his duties in the first place. But it wasn't entertained by the speaker, Dato' Azhar Azizan Harun, so last month he followed up to ask why.
Yes, and now we're all privy to this conversation. So the speaker responded by citing Parliament's standing orders where government business takes precedence over private motions.
Yeah, well, check this out though, Lynn. Some lawyers argue that although it's a private motion, the Prime Minister's legitimacy is a matter of public importance. And according to the standing orders, they take precedence over government business.
Yeah, so we did say from the get-go that this is quite a technical legal matter because you do have essentially different lawyers arguing about the interpretation of the Constitution, the interpretation of looking at standing orders in Parliament, both here in our country as well as abroad, because you do see the Speaker himself in a letter that he published kind of drawing those comparisons.
Yeah, it's interesting because when it comes to situations like this, that's really why the speaker is so important, right? It really is up to the speaker to interpret these important situations, right? What constitutes as a matter of public interest. So that's where the political twists and turns happen when they interpret it individually.
So in order to understand, I think, as best we can, both sides of this argument, we're going to be crossing over to Surendra Anand, co-chairperson of the Malaysian Bar Constitutional Law Committee. If you have any questions, do send them our way. You can call 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. Surendra, thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Hi, no worries.
So take us through Parliament's standing orders, I guess. You know, what determines the order and have we ever seen that change?
Yeah, so the standing orders actually spell out quite clearly what the order of business is. So if you look at standing order 14, it spells out the order of business. So for example, if it starts with the entry of the Yang Dipertuan Agong, his speech, and if you then go down that list, you will see matters of urgent public importance somewhere in the middle. Then you go to government bills and then private member bills, etc. But then Standing Order 14 has to be read with the next standing order, which is number 15, which says that government business shall take precedence over private business. So, for example, if you're looking at what's happening now, the motion of no confidence, I don't think anyone is disputing that it's a matter of urgent public importance. But end of the day, it is a motion by a private member of parliament. So any government business will end up taking precedence over it.
Right. And Dato' Azhar Azizan Harun has released a statement explaining his stand and response to Tengku Razali. Could you, I guess, briefly take us through that?
Yeah, so I think what the speaker is saying is he's going by the standing orders read literally. So as I explained earlier, because the no confidence motion is by a private member, it's considered a private member's motion, and therefore any government business would take precedence over that particular motion. Now, I think the more contentious area is whether or not the speaker has any power to then put that motion first. Because the standing order is clear. In order to put a private member's motion first, a minister has to stand up and do that. but can the speaker then do that? So then you have this thing called Standing Order 18 that says even when a minister doesn't do it, that the speaker can do it. Now, if you look at Standing Order 18, if you read it literally, all it says is that he can put it up for discussion. So if you look at the speaker's statement, he says, well, I can only put it up to discuss, but I can't put it to a vote. So for a no-confidence motion, there's really no point in me putting it up for discussion without a vote. So that's one way of interpreting Standing Order 18. Another way to interpret it is that, look, the word discussion must also include the voting of that particular motion. And this has to be read in light of the Constitution, which quite clearly says that when the Prime Minister loses the confidence of the majority, he must resign. And the best way to determine if he has lost that confidence is through a no-confidence motion. So you really can't have a scenario where, for example, where everyone knows that the Prime Minister, for example, has no confidence, but a no-confidence motion cannot get put through simply because the government intentionally creates business or puts business on top, effectively barring that motion from ever being called. So in that scenario, can Parliament actually go on for years without seeing a no-confidence motion being tabled? So I think there are two different readings. I can see where the speaker is coming from, but I don't quite agree with his reading of the standing orders.
And earlier, I just wanted to, I think, go back to something you said, which is there can be, or you know, there would be little dispute that something like this is a matter of public importance. And I just want to isolate that phrase a little bit and ask whether there are, in fact, different interpretations of this idea, or do you think we can, you know, universally agree that certain things constitute or fall within the statement?
Well, I think it's difficult to come up with a definitive definition to it, or what can or cannot constitute public importance. End of the day, it depends on that particular motion and when it's being tabled or put forward. But I think in this particular scenario right now, I don't think anyone is disputing that it is a matter of public importance. In fact, if you look at the speaker's statement, I don't think he disputes it as well. He doesn't say that this is not a matter of public importance. He, I think, implicitly accepts it is, but he says he doesn't have the power to put this forward. It is up to the government to put it forward or increase it in priority. So I think that's not really an issue in contention here. And if we look at practices in other countries, which I think he does refer to, and he rightfully says that in other countries like Australia or in the UK, when something like this comes up, normally the opposition would speak to the government, and normally the government would, in their own accord, want to put such a motion first because they would want to directly confront a no-confidence motion to legitimize their being the government. So they want to cement their legitimacy and deal with it at the forefront. But unfortunately, I don't think our parliamentary democracy has reached to such mature levels yet. So I think in terms of looking at conventions in other countries, we have to be a bit more careful.
Right, and that nicely segues into how you mentioned you don't fully agree with the speaker. But could we unpack that a bit more?
Yeah, so I think that the very fine point of this agreement is that the speaker looks at Standing Order 18, and I think there the speaker has the discretion to actually call up a private member's motion first, or early on in the business, if it's a matter of urgent public importance. So that's not in dispute. But I think what the speaker looks at is the word discussion, because all that's mentioned in Standing Order 18 is to call it up for discussion. So he takes the view that I only can call it up for discussion, but I cannot put it to a vote. So he's reading that standing order literally, in my view. And I think an alternative argument can be made that you should not read the standing order so rigidly and literally. It should be given a more flexible and approach where discussion should also be construed to include putting that motion to vote as well. Because as I said, when you look at this no-confidence vote, the Constitution quite clearly says that once the PM has lost confidence, he must resign. So it's a very important thing. And it cannot be the case that the government can be allowed to effectively bury that motion from ever being called out and put to a vote.
So on that point then, as of 11 a.m. today, five opposition members filed a motion of no confidence against Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin, and 11 more Amanah lawmakers are going to do so today or have been encouraged to do so. What are the implications of this increase in filing, if at all?
Well, if you're looking at it purely from it being called up and then voted on in Parliament, then the same logic would apply. They are all private member motions. So, you know, they will be below the list unless the government brings it up or if the Speaker changes his view and brings it up. But I think it has a bearing in another way. So, obviously, now the state of the law in Malaysia is that in order to determine if the PM has the confidence of the House, it used to be the case that you could only determine that in Parliament or in the House itself. That's obviously done through a no-confidence motion. But the law has changed. So right now, the King, the YDPA, can determine that issue through other forms of evidence and material. So that's what happened when Tun M resigned and Tun Muhyiddin became the PM. He did that through interviews. And then in the Perak case, I think it was through letters, for example. So there are other means to determine this. So, for example, if you have more than 111 MPs submitting motions of no confidence, that to me is a very clear signal that the PM no longer has the confidence of the majority. And that to me could cause the YDPA to clearly form a view that the Prime Minister has to resign.
Now, so regardless of, I guess, what does end up happening, is it encouraging to you that we're having this conversation in a public, transparent way?
Yes, I think it is. And I think it's important it's happening in this context because last time, I think when the Sabah scenario happened, I think Tan Sri Musa Aman was sworn in as chief minister. And I think a few days later, Tan Sri Shafi Abdal then got sworn in. We didn't really see this discussion so much. Maybe the majority was happy with that eventual outcome. But it's always been the sentiment of I think, most human rights lawyers that a question like this should be determined in an open and transparent manner in Parliament, which is a no-confidence vote. So we know which MP is voting which way. And I think it's also important that people know how the standing orders operate and how much precedence is given to government business. So, for example, in the UK, there is allotted time for the opposition to present their motion. It's guaranteed to them. Whereas in Malaysia, it's really all up to the government. So it's quite lopsided, which is why I think one of the disappointments of the PH government was that they didn't do anything to sort of amend the standing orders to allow or guarantee the opposition a chance and time for them to present their own motions regardless of what the government has. And I think, you know, that's going to be problematic for them now.
Mm. Surendra, on that, thank you so much for speaking to us this evening.
No problem. Good evening.
That was Surendra Anand, co-chairperson of the Malaysian Bar Constitutional Law Committee, helping us, I think, really contextualize and clear up the different opinions that are coming up to this issue of the vote of no confidence that can happen in Parliament. If you'd like to share your thoughts, do send them our way. It's the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.